and welcome back to the Dreamcast. I am your host, Denise Walsh. I combine science, scripture, and stories that will inspire you to dive deep, break through your own personal glass ceiling, and design a life of your dreams. Are you overworked, overstressed, and overwhelmed? You want life to be different, but you don't even know how to get there. Man, oh man, I lived there myself. And in my experience with working with thousands of people from all walks of life, there is one simple thing that holds so many of us back: a lack of time management. We may know what we want, but we often don't know how to get there and don't feel like we can add one more thing into our already busy day. And that's exactly why I created the Dream Life Action Planner. It's a 90-day inspired game plan that will give you total clarity on your greatest priorities and skyrocket your productivity on the tasks that matter most. And now, for a limited time, you can get your own copy for free. And when you go to denisewalsh.com/action. Denise Walsh, denisewalsh.com/action, A-C-T-I-O-N. Put your information in and we will send this action planner directly to your inbox so you can set your goals, reprioritize your calendar, and design your dream life today.
Big welcome back to the Dreamcast. Okay, well, it is the middle of January right now, and as you guys have experienced throughout the last year, there's been chaos all around us and drama and uncertainty and questions and all that kind of stuff. And I find in the midst of this, quote, drama, it's best, right, to take a step back and to get back into our heart and to really ask ourselves, what do we really want? And our next guest is going to give us some specific tools to do just that. During his teenage years, he developed a deep understanding of universal laws and has used these teachings to overcome enormous obstacles. He developed an ability to share this guidance for the benefit of others and has created a simple set of tools that profoundly transformed every aspect of his life, delivering a life of joy, clarity, and abundance. And I think, guys, in the midst of confusion, right, clarity slices through that fog and gives us that path that we can follow. So I'm super interested to hear how he's been able to transform his life and then create the practice of TAYA, I think I said it right, which stands for Trust Your Abundance. He has a best-selling book, radio show, podcast, online training programs, and has helped transform the lives of those seeking a new way all over the globe. So big Dreamcast welcome to David Streichel.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I know that we all, like, got to step outside the drama, any drama, whether it's family drama, it's chaos in our country, whatever's happening right now, and reconnect with ourselves. And I feel like you are a great person to help teach us how to do this. So before we jump into what you're doing now, I'd love to hear a bit about your understanding of universal laws and what does that really mean?
Well, there's a lot of ideas about universal law, but from my gathering of universal law, and I've had this come into me my whole life. I understood universal law as a child even. And it was very contradictory to a lot of things that we're taught in our society and certainly to what I was being taught by my parents. And thankfully for me, my parents ended up being sort of disconnected from my life as a child. My father left when I was six. My mother sort of, she fought for custody of my brother and I, and then she sort of checked out as a parent for the rest of her life, really. And that ended up being a great blessing for me because I really had to pay attention to my inner knowing. What I now refer to as the stream of consciousness that comes to all of us, I was sort of left to my own devices and I paid attention to that. And with that, I understood that we all create our own bubble of reality. And the universal law of attraction is something that I think with the book, The Secret, now everybody has heard about that. I think that on some level, we all understand that we are creating our reality. It's a lot easier to see it in other people, sometimes than ourselves. Our coworkers, our family, our friends, you know, the ones that are always complaining and always focusing on being sick or being broke or being alone, they tend to have that experience as their bubble of reality. Whereas people that focus on a confident state of being successful and healthy, joyous, you know, connected to people that they really resonate with, they tend to have that experience. And I've always understood that. So the universal law of attraction is really how all creation occurs. And you can label that lots of things, and it's fine to label that anything that you want. One thing that I'm a big proponent of is that we all create our bubble of reality. And in our bubble of reality, we are right. And, you know, something that happened last week, Denise, when I, you know, I don't really stay glued to the news, but you can't help but know what happened in the United States last week. And when I first witnessed that, my vibe dropped a little bit. You know, I didn't feel good about it. I was a little outraged about just everything that was going on. And then I sort of stopped. And I did this thing that I love called zooming out. You zoom out to the highest perspective, whether you call that source perspective, God perspective, of non-judgment, non-fear, and applied that to the situation. And it brought this sense of peace over me where I realized that there were people doing things in their bubble of reality that they believed were right. And there were other people that were outraged by that. And they believe in their bubble of reality that they're right. And we're not on a one-size-fits-all path for humanity. Obviously, there's just endless belief systems. So applying those belief systems to what you would call the universal law of attraction, people apply these things very differently within their belief system. And it's okay if you give your power to something else, if you want to do that in your bubble of reality, if you are praying with a belief in God that God is going to take care of you, that is absolutely going to be your reality. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, of course. But if you are more self-sufficient and believe that you are part of that God energy and that you are creating your reality and you're more responsible for it, you know, the teachings that I offer are more in alignment with that we are all of source, or we are all of God, and we are an extension of that. And therefore, we are attracting our reality. And so the universal law of attraction is pretty mainstream these days. Something that I offer, though, from my very early understanding of this, is the law of polarity, which states that we are in a polarized environment. I think there's plenty of evidence about that. And the crux of the polarized environment is that we have this polarity that causes this sort of vibrational flow in our lives. And we're all aware of it. This is why one day we're up and we feel good and we're, you know, dreaming big dreams and we're believing and we just see the beauty in the world. And the very next day, we may be in a very different place emotionally. Well, that is vibration. Vibration is emotion. And when you're in that lower vibrational place and you're not believing, you're not trusting, you're more you're fearful, pessimistic, whatever, you are actually canceling out a lot of the stuff that you were attracting when you were up, and attracting some things that you don't want in. And again, if you separate this from yourself and really look at people around you, it's a little case study that you can do in your own life of, wow, this person that sits next to me at work is always complaining and they're always having something in their lives to complain about. Whereas the more optimistic person is having more things to be joyful about. Even if they're having to look for things to be joyful about, they're making that their life experience. What do I want to experience in my life? Understanding that we're attracting everything, but we have this thing that flows through called polarity that ensures that we're not just going to have this static experience of always being up and happy and having every single thing that we want fall into our laps. That's why people think law of attraction doesn't work, because they think that, well, gosh, if I think of, you know, a yacht's going to appear and it'll be my yacht, or $1 million, and then they try it and it doesn't work. But the little stuff works. I talk to people every day that, you know, I can find the parking space, I can have a better experience in public, you know, with people if I'm in the right frame of mind. But gosh, that money and the relationship and the better health and the weight loss and all that stuff, all of that is seems a lot more difficult. And that's because these are the things that we all make big in our lives. So therefore, we're thinking about them a lot. And when we're thinking about them a lot, we are revisiting them through this vibrational flow. So one day we're thinking and we're dreaming and we're trusting and it's coming. And the next day, polarity takes our vibe down and we're not able to trust the same way. We're literally a different being in that lower vibrational state than we are when we're up. And we're all aware of it. It's hard to label it sometimes. So those two universal laws are the ones that I really focus on. The universal law of attraction is the process of all creation, but the universal law of polarity governs that and ensures that we're going to receive a mix of positive and negative. And there's value in the negative. And a big part of the Taya practice is understanding the value in the negative. I call it the perfection of imperfection, because when you really come to appreciate the challenges in your life and what they actually do for you, that changes your whole perspective of life and humanity and your whole experience as a human being.
Wow. Yeah, I think I got a new couple brain cells just then. but I want to go back to when you said you were a kid and you were given the gift, as you said, right? Appreciating the difficulties because you didn't have the parental figures telling you what to do. You got to tell yourself what to do and listen to that intuition. And part of my story is that when I got out of school, I was a super great hard worker. But if nobody was telling me what to do, I didn't know what to do. And I think a lot of us get out of school. A lot of people go through what they call the quarter life crisis, right? They get out of school and then they're like, I've been told what to do for the last two decades. Now I need to learn to lead myself. And that's where this connection and this listening and quieting all of that noise and paying attention to that inner knowing really is something I think they should teach in schools. Like, I really love teaching that connection because I think when all else fails or there's crazy or drama or, you know, uncertainty, or you're at a, you know, decision-making point, that inner knowing is going to be what helps you along the way. So how do you strengthen that inner knowing and that connection to that still small voice?
Well, one of the things about law of attraction is that the more you focus on something, the more momentum it gains. So the more you focus on allowing your own inner knowing to be realized, and I absolutely believe that it's there for all of us. And that's what, you know, meditation and prayer and all of these things that sort of connect you with that, whether you believe it's external or internal, again, it's your bubble of reality that you create, and it's real. For you, it's real. My bubble of reality is real for me. And it's interesting that we don't believe that. We very often, because of our ego, believe that, you know, it's a one size fits all. My belief system is right. Everyone else's is wrong. And I need to be right. And I need to go on social media and I need to argue my point. And I need to tell these people how they're wrong and I'm right. And yet it's not very effective, obviously, because again, we're all creating this bubble of reality. But the more you go inward, I have found that all of the answers lie within, because we are all extensions of source or God. So if all of the answers lie within, quieting your mind and really trusting yourself, and that's part of it, is a lot of times people just don't trust themselves. And that's too bad, because I believe our intuition, when we're really loving ourselves, we're really allowing the highest value of that connection to flow. And that's where our own inner knowing, our intuition comes from. And a lot of times people don't trust their intuition, again, because they don't really understand vibrational flow. They don't understand that they can have something that's very intuitive, that seems very achievable, that they conceive and they believe in that high vibrational state, but polarity is going to pull you down a bit. And when polarity pulls you down, then that's when doubt and fear. And a lot of people will label that lower period, you know, dark or evil or something like that. I believe the ego makes it that. I think our behavior can make it seem that way from a human perspective. But really, it's just a time of challenge to your ideas. And if you start thinking about it like that, that it's a time that these great ideas that I came up with are, you know, the vibration is going to drop. And this thing, whatever my creation is, whether it's a product, a business, a relationship, a diet plan, is going to be challenged. But that challenge actually exists for me to create a better version of. Think about companies. If you're a fan of Apple, I've read a lot of things about Steve Jobs and in the creation of the success that is Apple. And you know, Apple almost went out of business several times. They had plenty of flops before they had successes. And all of those failures and flops and you know, sort of twists and turns in the road allowed them to create a better version of, because they didn't give up. And that's the thing. You know, this three-step process of high vibration to low vibration and allowing the low vibration period to create problems to solve, and then allowing and actually meeting those problems in joy, which is very counter to what we're taught. You know, we're taught to feel like victims and, oh my gosh, and why is this happening? It's terrible and it's all falling apart and I should just throw in the towel and give up. Well, a lot of people do that, and then they never get to the next step of creation and they're back to square one, or they just give in life about life altogether. So the process of creation is high vibration, an idea, a relationship, a business, something is conceived and thought. And then some time passes, the vibration inevitably is going to drop. You're going to start seeing some flaws come up. Think about this in the formation of a new romantic relationship. And from that place, you get to decide, am I willing to deal with these flaws and allow these flaws to make a better relationship or a better business? And you do that by really finding appreciation for, wow, I'm glad I'm figuring this out. I'm glad I'm seeing this big flaw in my creation. And then when you show that appreciation, your vibration goes back up because you're not stressed about it anymore. You're actually saying, hey, I'm glad this happened now, because now I'm getting some clarity on this and I can decide how to create a better version of whatever it is I'm creating. So boom, the vibration goes back up and the universe is sending it to you. And that's a very powerful process that a lot of people don't understand, because the people that teach law of attraction very often don't understand it. You know, they've applied law of attraction in their lives in certain ways. They get very excited about it and they want to get out and teach it, but they're not teaching vibrational flow as much as just think about what you want and it shows up. We're more complex than that though. And we sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And born of my own frustration with those teachings, I created the Taya practice, because I knew how to manifest money and material things from a very early age. Even though I grew up very poor in a minimum wage single parent household in high school, everyone thought I was one of the rich kids. I drove a brand new car and wore nice clothes, and I manifested things in high school. And I spent the next 20 years of my life really focusing on material stuff, because when you grow up poor, you believe that's happiness. And then I got to 40, 41 and realized, wow, I'm still not happy. I've got all this stuff and I'm still not happy. So Taya came from me figuring it out on every other level: relationships, health, just loving myself, overcoming what I call my transgressor energy, you know, forgiving my parents, all the way to the point of fully appreciating them, which is way beyond forgiveness. You know, appreciating the most negative aspects of your life is way, way beyond forgiveness. But it's so freeing.
Yeah, absolutely. So getting quiet and meditation, prayer, journaling, allowing, I say, go to your, from your head to your heart, you know, out of that monkey mind into your heart space. So then you can actually hear yourself and have that connection. I often say, you know, your best ideas come in the shower, right? Why? Because you, mm-hmm. you know, you're just kind of not distracted. You're not multitasking. And you've got the like stream of water. I don't know. So it's the listening, it's meditation, it's prayer, it's quieting your mind so you can actually connect. And then it's trusting yourself. And I think a lot of times people stay in situations they don't like, knowing they could know, they could have that pull, that drive, that this isn't it, I need more, not happy. But that trusting is a barrier, because we stay where we are, even if we don't like it, because we at least understand it, right? So how have you helped through the Taya practice people to not just hear and connect, but also to build that trust to actually do something different?
Sure. In Taya, we do a lot of detuning, because there's a lot of programming from society that we receive that instills fear. If you look at our news, our you know, most marketing tools are all very laced, very much laced with fear. If you don't do this, you're going to feel pain. If you don't do this, you're going to suffer some way. And it's all fear invoking to get you to act.
Yeah. I feel like it's very easy to immediately go, I'm going to live in a van down by the river.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's interesting. So the detuning of fear.
Yeah.
And when you detune fear, you also detune judgment. And detuning judgment of others is very powerful. Because first of all, it allows you to live a more joyous existence because you're not running around judging everyone around you, needing them to behave in a way that pleases you. And then very often what happens is when you get into that vibe of judgment and you're judgmental about other people, you're inevitably going to be judgmental about you, which is separating you from love of self, which is your connection to source, to God. Because if you believe in source or you believe in a loving God and you believe that God loves you and you're not loving you the way that God loves you or the way that source loves you, you're actually separating yourself from that energy. And that energy is your intuition. And it's interesting that you talked about taking a shower. One of the practices in Taya is low thought activities. Sometimes when we can't sit and just be silent because we're so... down the spiral, as we like to say, you know, we're just in low vibration. We're really depressed. Even a low thought activity has a lot of value because it takes your thought and places it on something that you do routinely. So you're not having to really give a lot of thought to it, but it takes your focus down and allows that natural connection just to come through. That's why when you're in the shower or you're out on a long drive or ironing or gardening, these great ideas pop in. That is your connection. And that's where your intuition comes from. So understanding that the systematic detuning of fear in your life and detuning of judgment in your life allows the trust to go up. Because if you're not fearing anything, then why not trust? Why not trust the universal process of creation? Why not hold on and just trust that the universe is going to pamper you if you allow it to? Because it will. My life is living proof of that, you know, from everything from, you know, being essentially disowned by my family to, you know, quitting my corporate job with no plan and publishing my book and starting my podcast and then starting my creating Taya and starting my boot camp. All of that just happened magically. There was no, you know, bundle of money to support all that. There was no master plan, business plan. What's that? I had a business background, so I understand how business operates, but I didn't jump out of that airplane with a parachute. I just jumped out with faith, trusting. Trust and faith are the same thing. I trusted my abundance, TYA. I trusted that the TYA is trust your abundance, but I trusted my abundance. Jumping out of the airplane without a parachute was the best thing that I ever did because I had to create the parachute, but I created it sort of on my way down and I landed just fine. But it wasn't perfection. But I really came to appreciate that we're not here for perfection. I'm not out selling the idea that you're going to get to some perfect life where you never have another problem. You know, everything is, you know, a lot of people are selling that. And I get that it sells books. But I would rather give you something that's a dose of reality. And reality is it can be a very positive reality if you learn to really focus your perspective from, again, a higher perspective of non-judgment. Just like witnessing what we witnessed in the United States at the Capitol last week, taking judgment away from that and just appreciating the fact that everyone is having their experience. And we're all here having this imperfect human experience. And even if it's something that we really don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see people beaten and killed. Of course not. But if I take the judgment out of it and say, okay, you know, they're having their experience and this is the end of their human experience, but I believe that we're all eternal beings. And that belief in our eternal nature allows me to hold more appreciation for this very temporary life. And it's temporary for all of us. Somebody said once, you know, no one's getting out of this alive. We all have a lifespan. And if you take judgment out of how others are living their lives and allow them to live the life that they're living. You know, I have a sister who lives her life very differently than me. I've lived in multiple places. I've traveled the world. I've hopped around and started businesses and had careers and you know, just done all these things. My sister is opposite of that. She has had one job. She graduated from law school. She's had one job her entire adult life. She spends her whole life really at her home. The pandemic is the best thing that ever happened to her because she is an introvert. She wants to be at home with her cat and doing her thing, listening to her podcast, watching her TV shows, no social life, no travel, no romantic relationship. And I used to judge that. I used to judge, wow, I just hate that for my sister. You know, I really want her. And then it really dawned on me that, well, wait a minute. You know, this woman is capable of graduating law school. She can do whatever she wants to do. Obviously, this is what she wants to do. Our society tries to sell us this idea that we're not supposed to live like that. But why is that? Who am I to judge her? Let her live her life the way she wants to live her life. She does not need me to swoop in and save her from anything. And it's so freeing to start applying that to all of humanity. You know, if someone's struggling and asks for help, that's fine. Help them. But if they're not asking for your help and you're judging their life experience, you're only harming yourself because you're focusing on something that you don't want. And if you believe in the law of attraction and it's happening to you, whether you believe it or not, then you're going to bring things of that vibration, not necessarily that exact thing, but you're going to bring things of that vibration into your life. So judging the lives and the paths of others, it's very tempting to do that because when we judge other people, it sort of soothes, you know, our opinion of ourselves. But what is it really doing for you? If you could really detune judgment in your life and thus detune fear also, it's very, very freeing. It's extremely transformative to do that.
Yeah, I can imagine. One of the things I teach is forgiveness lessons. And again, you know, judgment is the expectation of someone else is not living up to your expectation, right? And then, of course, that self-judgment is when I'm not living up to my own expectation. But then what does that expectation even really mean? And who created that? And where did that come from? And so I think really taking a look at some of those beliefs, the detuning, as you mentioned, helps you to then take 100% responsibility for it rather than being a product of the environment, so to speak, but really being able to say, all right, I have choice here and I don't need to just go with the flow of what's happening in my world. I can really make decisions that take me on a path that I want to be on. And when you give yourself 100% responsibility or you take 100% responsibility for all that stuff, then you get to say, if I take 100% responsibility for me, then I'm going to let you take 100% responsibility for you. And I don't need to change you and I don't need to fix you and I don't need to cut
my mind. Isn't it? And it's very freeing, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's I'm powerful. Always intrigued too about how much of our beliefs are external programming, almost all of them really, until you really start to get ahead of it. I was talking to somebody just this week on my podcast about look at how the anti-aging industry operates. And how brilliant it is from a marketing perspective, because everyone, unless you die young, you're going to age. So everyone is your potential consumer. And the message that's being sent is it's not okay to age. You're supposed to age defy. You're supposed to look younger. It's not cool to be old. Yet we're all aging. I'm going to be 53 next month. You know, I'm bald now and weight is harder to take off. You know, all that is reality, law of attraction or not, you age. And the judgment of aging, just like every other judgment of your life, if you step back and think, how much of that is programming? We talk a lot about the Instagram version of people's lives. You know, everyone's beautiful. Their home is beautiful. Their holidays are beautiful. You know, everything. That's what Instagram is. And if you flip through there and it's inspiring, that's great. But if you're flipping through there and judging yourself against it and feeling bad about your life, you have to realize that nobody's life is the Instagram version of their life. They're putting the good stuff out there, which is nice. It's a positive experience as opposed to, you know, Facebook where people put all their dirty laundry out, it seems. So, you know, use it to be, it's an inspiring thing. That's a beautiful room. This person looks great. You know, beautiful sunset, whatever it is, that's fantastic. But if you're applying it in such a way that like, well, I don't have that. Why can't I have that? I'm not like that. Oh, my life sucks compared to this. Well, that feels bad. Why do that to yourself? Realize, and I know a lot of Instagrammers, and I know people that have beautiful Instagram feeds, but I also know the not Instagram part of their lives. And no one's living perfection. We're not here for perfection. In fact, once you really get into this vibrational flow idea and understand the perfection of imperfection, that we're not here to be the perfect, rich, beautiful, always happy, that the problems that we encounter in our lives actually drive our expansion, our creation, our deeper understanding of humanity. If we didn't suffer some, then we wouldn't really grow in this life experience. Just imagine how boring life would be if we really could just imagine everything that we want and it all just drops in our lap. We would get bored with the creation really fast.
Yeah, no, that's so true. If it's easy, you know, I often think if it's too easy, we get bored, right? And that's why people are always looking to continue to grow and level up and what's their next goal and what do I want to become good at this year, and asking themselves those questions so that way we consistently expand. Because if we can do it in our sleep, then we don't want to do it anymore. And if life is always easy, then we have no reason to ask ourselves some powerful questions and dig deep and really show ourselves what we're capable of, because we're kind of just coasting. And that's when you said people who have stayed in that lower vibration and then kind of give up and stay there.
Yeah, it's very common, because you think of something, you're excited about it, and the vibration drops and suddenly it starts to unravel. It's very easy just to say, I don't want to feel the pain of this, so I'm just going to move on and not focus on it anymore. That happens in relationships all the time. Romantic relationships, you know, in the very beginning, everyone's excited. There's an attraction. There's a spark. Oh, this is great. And then a little time passes and some flaws bubble to the surface. All of a sudden, that person's not the perfect person you thought they were. And you've got a choice to make. Are you willing to move ahead with these flaws that you're seeing, or are you not? You know, everyone is human and everyone has flaws, but it's really your decision whether you're willing to move on with something or not. But expecting perfection, you know, we see that in Hollywood relationships all the time. Their bubble of reality is so pampered that they get into these relationships. And, you know, there's just a matter of time before you're going to hear about the divorce very often, because they can't stick it out and flow through this high and low. And I've seen, you know, my father went on after he left when I was six. He married my stepmother, and they've been together for over 45 years. And I've seen them go through some, you know, years ago, some times that were very bad. And now they're, you know, north of 75. My father just turned 80. And they are fantastic together, and they stuck it out. And, you know, certainly it's your choice whether you stick it out or not. If someone's abusing you, you know, you got to take care of yourself and value yourself enough to get out of that situation. But if it's just rocky times, very often because of money or something like that, you know, it's so easy just to say you're going to throw in the towel and walk away from it. And, you know, in the creation of anything, you're just back to square one when you do that. It's your choice to do it or not. But once you understand vibrational flow and polarity, then you've got this whole other set of tools to work your life with. Like, wow, I'm just having a bad day today. Yeah. My bad day really is my own creation. I know now that I can change it. That was one of the most powerful things, Denise, that I learned was back when I was in the working world. I used to live in downtown San Francisco. And I had to commute out of the city every day to different locations in the career that I was in. And, you know, getting out into that traffic and that grind every day was just an awful experience in the beginning. And I was spending a fortune to live in the city in San Francisco, and it was miserable until I really realized that, wow, wait a minute, I have control over this experience. I can get out and appreciate my car in the traffic and look for things to appreciate all the time. You know, look at that tree, look at that building over there. You know, I'm stuck in traffic, but I have this great car that I'm driving, or I'm listening to something that's fun on the radio. I made it a more enjoyable experience. And before long, what was happening was I found the commute just passing by so quickly. Sitting in the car for an hour was an enjoyable experience every day, rather than, you know, this awful, terrible grind that I hated. I was making it awful for myself. And when I found appreciation for it, it actually went smoother. And there were days that I would look around on a freeway in San Francisco, you know, five or six lanes across in one direction, and my car, and I'm not joking, my car would be the lone car. There'd be a whole pile behind me and a whole stack of cars in front of me. And I would just be in the middle lane, just cruising along, having the best time, and realize that, wow, look how powerful we are at creating our reality, that through my appreciation of this commute, it actually is improving. It's getting better. So now I do not get in the car ever unless I set an intention for a safe and stress-free commute. And I did that so habitually that within a year or two of doing that, I found myself leaving the job, leaving San Francisco, moving to Palm Springs, and now I have a business to where I don't have to leave the house at all, especially during COVID.
I was going
to
say,
I'm not doing workshops, I'm not traveling. Yeah, I've exactly manifested what I wanted, where my car, you know, if I rack 100 miles in a month, it's a lot for me. So my car is in the garage. I'm here communicating with the world from my home, never having to deal with traffic because I detuned it in my life. It's amazing how it works, but it works on every topic that way.
I love that story. And I love the ability to detune from fear and judgment. And as you said, notice it. Once you notice it, then you have the ability to take that responsibility and make changes and choose appreciation instead. Is appreciation a way to break through one like an abundant block if you're feeling blocked? Are there any others?
Yeah, anything that's an abundance block. So if there's something that you're wanting to achieve or have or be or do in your life, and you have a limiting belief that won't allow you to really allow it to happen for you, that's always rooted somewhere. And generally in Taya, we go back to birth. We go back to very early childhood, those formative years between ages 3 and 5, where really your limiting beliefs are all rooted there. And very often, it's rooted in some things that you pick up at that age that to you at that age are monumental. But then you move through life and you get a little older and you reflect back on some of these early memories and you think, well, gosh, I was just a kid. It's no big deal. The problem is that when you're 3, 4, 5 years old and your parents, you know, most people can remember the first time they questioned their parents' love for them, you know, where they kind of felt a little separation, even if they had the most doting, loving parents in the world. You know, you want that approval when you're young, and there's usually something that occurs when your parents probably are a little down their spiral, you know, and they act out in a way that, you know, make you feel a certain way about yourself, and you carry that belief into adulthood. And so that's sort of a root for a limiting belief. I always use the example of like a little girl eating a candy bar. And her mother is not necessarily in the best mind space. And as a parent, you're not always going to be in the best mind space. We're all subject to vibrational flow. And the mother says, hey, don't eat too many candy bars. You're going to get fat. And it was just a passing comment. But to a little child, you know, right away, it can send the signal that, okay, being fat is bad. I don't want to be fat. I shouldn't eat candy bars. And if I'm fat, maybe my mother's not going to love me anymore. You know, that is child reasoning, right? That's, you remember feeling that way, a lot of us. So then the child takes that information and makes it their reality and develops some sort of eating disorder that follows them through their lifetime. And it can literally be rooted in one little comment like that. But if you're a parent, you know, don't think I'm chastising you as a parent, because one of my most popular podcasts was called Your Parents Were Supposed to Screw You Up. And it's all about the perfection of imperfection, that parents aren't here to deliver a perfect parenting experience to their children. And as a human being, we are not going to receive a perfect parental experience from our parents, whether they're doting and loving or they're more disconnected like mine or even ones that are full on abusive. You know, those things offer, and I hate to call them a gift, because if you've been abused and you're just hearing these teachings, thinking of that as a gift is ridiculous, but there is light are a silver lining in every experience. I tend to use examples of some people that I've worked with in my program that are extreme. You know, I've had a person who was abducted and raped that found appreciation for that. That's not an easy path to walk, but when you find that light of appreciation, you detune the trauma of the experience. So these extreme examples that I use, the reason that I use them is because a lot of times people think, well, gosh, this happened to me. There's no way I'm ever going to overcome that. I was, you know, mistreated in some way. I use the extreme example just to illustrate the fact that if you are willing to get in and do the work, whoever you do the work with, whether it's me or you or anyone else, you can transform your opinion and your perspective over anything that's happened in your life. I even have a woman whose son was murdered that I've worked with. And she suffered for 5 years as the mother of a murdered son. And she came to me, she listened to my podcast. She came to me and said, I need to take your program. I can't live like this anymore. And I said, are you ready to find appreciation in that, including the person that did it? And it actually really, it transformed her whole experience. And she's a happier person now, more connected to her son's energy and his now state, and more at peace, not completely at peace, I'm sure, but more at peace with what occurred. And after that, she was actually, while she was still in my boot camp, she was able to face the murderer in court for the first time. It took 5 years to extradite him. And she faced him in court and spoke of the experience as not being this joyful experience, but being one that she could handle, that didn't destroy her. She left the courtroom and went, she said she went home and danced with her son in her dreams all night. How satisfying is that? It's like, I've gotten a lot deeper than Law of Attraction. Sorry.
It's emotional because people can relate to that. I think that's the thing, is we do all have some sort of trauma, some sort of emotional upset that we can cling to. And the fact that we can heal through them, release them, retrain our brain essentially to see them in a different light will open up a whole world of possibilities, because it does move us from victim to being empowered. A lot of times we put ourselves in our own glass cages sometimes, and our brain, our thoughts can keep us there. But it sounds like you're truly freeing people emotionally and within their thought life to live a different experience. What is your boot camp all about?
So I teach the Taya practice. I teach that all over the place, and I'm completing the Taya book now. It's taking me 3 years to write it, so that'll be published within the next year. And this is a practice that I love to teach everyone everywhere, but I do have a boot camp program for people that want to get in and work with me over a 12-week period. It's intense. It's a big deal. It's for people that really want to transform their lives. It's really for people that, whatever reason, whatever is in their bubble of reality that is keeping them from really expanding to that next level where they know they can go, but they just don't know how to get there. And again, it's people that want to start businesses. It's people that want to get healthier. It's people that want to solve romantic relationship problems in their lives. A lot of people that have sort of hit that sort of midlife range where they want the rest of their life to be the best of their life, as they say, and sort of change some patterns, because we create these patterns in our adult lives, and we sort of have this societal programming that that's just who we're going to be. By the time you're 25 or so, you're sort of setting yourself up for how the rest of your life is going to be. And it doesn't have to be that way. I'm someone that completely reinvented my life in my 40s, completely. Every aspect of it, romance, health, weight, career. He went from being, a high paid corporate executive to being completely self-employed and self-reliant in my income. Living where I want to live on the planet. I live in Palm Springs. It's beautiful here all the time. I love living here. So creating the life that you want takes some inner work. If you have this belief system that has you all bound up, that you're limited, then boot camp is the thing to do. And I've had everybody go through boot camp, from homeless people to billionaires. And I'm not joking, that big of a range. And it's just because everyone in their bubble of reality has different trauma, and it's traumatic. Everything from the person that was severely abused to the person whose child was murdered to the person who was just taught a lot of limiting beliefs about themselves and their ability to be happy, successful, worthy. Worthiness is a huge part of it. And then even to people that are so wealthy that they question all of their life relationships. And there is real pain there. We all think we want to be a billionaire and fly around on a private jet and have multiple residences and 20 cars and all this. But I know people that live that life that are unhappy because everyone in their life wants money from them, and they question the value of the validity of all their friendships. It's all valid. It's all our own bubble of reality and suffering within that bubble of reality. And Taya is about delivering yourself from the suffering and releasing the abundance blocks that come from the suffering and really experiencing true joy. And abundance is whatever you want out of life. It's not necessarily just money. Abundance is joy first, always.
Yeah, I have my dream life products, and I often say, your dream life is it's different for everyone, right? There's no one standard of success and no standard of what you want your life to look like. It truly is what brings you joy. So I have one last question, and then I know we have a meditation that you are going to be able to send everybody. I mean, this is something everybody needs to learn. Like this is maybe need is not the word. This is something everybody gets to learn. This is so helpful to everybody. Like I have kids and I'm thinking, how can I help my children who's their ages 10 and 7 learn some of these skills? How do I help them build their intuition, listen to themselves, make decisions, feel confident, and become not just good workers like I did, but help them to know how to lead themselves and take that responsibility. Do you have any advice for thought or for parents out there who want to create space for their children to learn this?
I think the first thing is to have the foundation of understanding that everyone creates their bubble of reality. And as a parent, if you haven't learned, you probably will learn that you can only have so much impact on your child's bubble of reality. And the more you try to force something on them, the more they're liable to push back, which is a great thing because it's a sign of their own intelligence and their own worthiness of their own paths. So getting that, and I think most parents come to understand that prenaturally, and then taking the judgment out of it. If your child is going down a path that you're judging is bad or wrong, the more you push against that, the more they're liable to want to do more of it. Where if you're just an appreciation of them making their own mistakes and loving them through their mistakes, that's very empowering as well. They're going to become their own person, even if it's not what I dreamed for them. That was my dream, and I shouldn't apply that to them. I should let them go and be their own beings. The best thing that ever happened to me is that I had these disconnected parents that allowed me to become my own being. And I am the weird one in the family for sure. And I'm okay with that. And I'm the happy one in the family too. And I've also been the most successful one in the family. So that, and then on top of that, understanding that the very best that you can offer your children, your parents, anyone in your life is that high vibrational, joyous example of you. Because when they see you like that, you can teach and teach and teach and preach all you want, but walking the walk and providing the example and then allowing, you know, because nobody wants to be just like their parents when they're a kid. You know, you go through that rebellious period where you, whatever your parents are, you want to be the opposite of it. But let them go be the opposite of it and let them feel that and experience that. And again, appreciate the perfection of their mistakes, the perfection of imperfection, and know that they're going to find their own path to being their own being. And that your high vibrational, happy example is the very best thing that you have to offer to them. And allow them to craft their reality their own way. Because there's actually a lot of, if when you really start getting into our teachings, you see all the value in all of that imperfection. And that every time you see your child struggling, you know, trying to swoop in and save them from that, they're not developing an ability to function in society. I see that a lot. You know, I'm 52, I'll be 53 next month. You know, I was raised by the typical baby boomer, very hands-off, and I was raised around kids. We just did whatever we wanted to do, and then the world changed. And I think the Gen X parents, you know, sort of reacted to that, perhaps even overreacted a little bit, and created this really coddled environment, you know, and now we've got this whole generation coming up that, you know, that sort of everybody gets a trophy mentality and very offended by everything and everything needs to be politically correct. And that will take care of itself. You know, as they age, they'll move through those periods and mature, and that's fine. But you can't offer so much parenting that you're stifling your child's own human life experience and screwing up and making mistakes and taking weird paths, non-traditional paths are a part of that. And one of the things I admire about the youngest generation is how non-traditional they really are, how they're not being constrained by employment or location. When I lived in San Francisco, as I was mentioning earlier, my building was full of international millennials that were all running their own businesses and, you know, doing their own thing and very fluid in the way they live their lives. I think that's really cool that they're not just falling into a template the way generations past did. you've got to get this kind of job and this kind of house, drive this kind of car, and, you know, just have this life, that they're actually being a lot more individual with it. I think that's great.
Yeah. I love that. You being your best version and really healing yourself on a lot of different levels will help you be the best parent and not necessarily emotionally react or be in judgment of children's decisions, but create the space to ask them questions, to allow them to ask themselves questions, to come to their own answers, because they really do learn a lot just by watching us. How do we handle an upset? How do we handle a change or a crisis or chaos, or how do we pivot through all of this stuff and make it the best that we can? And they learn, they probably pick up more than we realize. So the more that we can stay in that alignment, we can pay attention to our inner knowing, we can stay connected and confident, and having that zooming out perspective that the highs and the lows are just a part of life and we don't need to emotionally attach to them, I think allows us to take steps forward while releasing the trauma and any negative experiences that we may feel like are holding us back.
Absolutely.
Love interesting. It. This has been a very great conversation. I needed it for my soul today. I know the audience probably does too. So tell us, how can we learn more from you? You also have a guided meditation that we can gain from you. So tell us a bit about that.
Sure. We are known as the Stream of David everywhere, the teachings and everything of the Stream of David, and the practices, the Taya practice, TYA. And if you text AWAKEN to this number, to 760-284-7665. Text the word AWAKEN to that number, and you get a source connection guided meditation, which is this magical experience of connecting you with all that is in the universe. It's a very different type of guided meditation. And it's got this beautiful acoustic music backing. The music itself sort of takes you on this magical journey, but the spoken word that is in there is very transformative as well. So it's a really cool experience. A lot of people like that. So if you text AWAKEN to that number, you get that. You get access to our free Facebook group and a few other little tools. And we don't share that number with anybody. You just get a few little texts that are automated with some things, some free things.
Awesome. 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 We'll put that in the show notes below, along with his website and all the other ways that you can join the bootcamp and decide, right, to put yourself in a place where you can unravel and detune from fear or judgment and all the things that are subconsciously running our lives. And we get to say, I don't want to be programmed by the external things. I want to stay connected and really decide for myself what I want my life to look like. So thank you, David, for sharing your story and your tools with us today. I know everybody will be better because of what we learned throughout this hour. So thank you so much.
It was a pleasure being here. Thank you, Denise.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. I want to hear your aha moment from today's amazing episode. If you could leave a review at whatever podcast player you choose to listen from, Apple Podcast, CastBox, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you're listening from, leave a review and share with us your favorite part of today's episode. Thanks for hanging out. And remember to dream big.